139 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Alrighty, so here's what we got for you today. We've got two movie reviews. First, we're going to do a baby review, a Hot Topic review of the movie Train to Busan, and then we're going to do our big review of the wide release of the weekend, Arrival. So first up, Train to Busan. Christy, you're going to take us into that one.
Here is the plot synopsis from Train to Busan. While a zombie virus breaks out in South Korea, a couple of passengers struggle to survive on the train from Seoul to Busan. Okay, so yeah, that's the gist of it. It's basically, for reasons they set up in the beginning of the movie, a zombie outbreak hits, and one person on the train has been infected, so it spreads very quickly and very ferociously. And it's not like a subway, it is like a long Amtrak-style train, and so there are big stops in between station, and in between those stops, you are just trapped with zombies. And this is a film that is actually shockingly the first live-action film from its director. He had previously done animated films, which I find astonishing because this movie is just kinetic and exciting, and like the idea that it's his first time at anything is astonishing. It's just so much fun. And yeah, it came out in July, but it's being reissued starting last week. So we wanted to talk about it because this is one of the most fun I've had in a horror movie all year.
This is one of my favorite movies of the year, period. I've been comparing it to the movie The Wave. I don't know if either of you saw The Wave.
I have not
yet.
It's
the Norwegian disaster movie. And what I've been saying is The Wave is to American disaster films as Train to Busan is to American zombie films. There's just something about this where there's a lot of zombie apocalypse cliches and tropes. Some of the characters are a little predictable, things like that. But the movie does such a good job enveloping you in this world, making you care about the characters, love certain characters. Oh, I was such a fan of certain actors in this movie. And just the whole idea of being trapped in that space with zombies is just brilliant. And the way that they bring zombies to life in the movie is a million times more horrifying than most of what I've seen recently.
Yeah, it's not that this is not a big budget movie and the special effects are like not that extraordinary. What's amazing about it is that the people that they hired
it's not really a special effects heavy movie. The zombies in this movie are, I believe they're contortionists.
Yeah,
whatever people can physically do with their bodies.
And
it makes it all the more horrifying that they're unnatural movements,
yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I mean, that's exactly it. It's like, I feel like we all think we know what zombies look like. And I in my review for Nerdist, I compared this to The Raid, where the way people use their bodies in this makes you feel like they didn't walk away okay. It just feels frightening and scary, and because of that, very authentic when you see the way these people throw their bodies around. Like, they look like their bodies are broken. And not with special effects.
It's really mortifying.
Yeah, it's really scary. I watched this.
You feel the threat quite a bit. I mean, the way he shoots the stuff in the train cars, it's, you know, you would think, oh, zombies on a train. Ha ha, isn't that funny? And yes, it is to a degree. But as someone who has ridden the subway and the Long Island Railroad for her entire life, basically, what they do when they're in these situations, they're plausible tactics.
See, now you have me feeling like, as someone who takes a subway sometimes during rush hour, I'm like, maybe I should never watch this movie.
I'm pretty sure you would be screwed if this virus ever broke out on the New York City subway. You would have a chance to survive on the LIRR, though.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
What I liked so much about this was how it authentically paints a world that we take for granted as just a series of traps if zombies show up, really. There's one scene on an escalator where people think that they're away from the problem, and they're just going down an escalator at a train station, and then they find that there are zombies at the bottom. And like,
it's like, what do you do?
I literally just screamed. I was just so upset because I thought, like, what would you do? You're fucked, because then you're trying to run up a down escalator while it's full of people already, and there are zombies coming at you.
It's the same horror if you're on the wrong train car and in the wrong side of the train car when a zombie comes. It's like, if there's people and you just can't run because there's people, like, you're fucked.
Yeah, and what's also great is that there's very thinly sketched characters in this, but they're sketched to the point where you at least have an emotional connection. And, you know, there's, like, at the center of the story is a kind of a very busy businessman and his daughter who feels like he doesn't pay enough attention to her.
The young actress that played his daughter was an A-plus child actress.
Yeah, she's great. But excellent. I particularly, like, there's a burly dude who's, like, a father-to-be.
Yes. And he's everybody's favorite. He's really my fun favorite. I love him.
And very no-nonsense. And he's kind of the guy who's just not great in social situations because he says what everyone's thinking and then everyone feels uncomfortable. But I this is so much fun. So, yeah, if you have a chance to see Train to Busan, check it out. It's easily one of the most fun horror movies this year. And notably, one of the few horror movies this year Perry and I both agreed on.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, though?
Sure.
Is it the kind of movie where, I mean, I think pretty obviously most movies are better in a theater, but is it one where you would say it's absolutely crucial to watch it in a theater, or is it something that if people have it available at home, they should watch it at home?
So I watched it on a screening link at home, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved it. However, it is playing at a theater near me, and I do genuinely want to go see it on the big screen. I think that if you have the opportunity to see it on the big screen, it should be viewed that way.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. I watched it on a screening link, so I watched it, like, on my computer and still had an incredible time. I would say if you can see it in theaters, I'm sure that's way more fun, so do that. But if not, it's just, it's a rush. It's such a rush. It's so much fun.
So clearly, I'm definitely gonna check it out. Recommend Train to Busan enough. I'm dying to see it again. But now that's it for that one. We're on to our next one. This is the wide release of the weekend. It is the movie Arrival. Here is the IMDb synopsis. A linguist is recruited by the military to assist in translating alien communications. That is an accurate synopsis, IMDb. Thank you for that. I absolutely loved Arrival. I think it's fantastic. It is one of my favorite movies of the year. I am rooting for it in a number of Academy Award categories at this point. It's a weird movie for me in particular to have fallen for so hard because, one, it is an alien invasion movie. You can classify it as that. But you know me. I like Independence Day. I like crazy action and a lot of people running in apocalyptic situations with alien invasion movies. That is not what this movie is at all. There's very little action. It's much more messing with your head in some respects, and when it comes to that, I tend to like sci-fi movies, and, you know, just various movies, whatever, that lay out the rules very clearly and tell me that if A happens, it's because of B. This movie does not play by that kind of rule at all. In the end, I found it very, very satisfying. However, I also didn't 110% understand everything, but I think that quality is something that makes the movie even more emotionally moving. So I was just above and beyond happy with this movie when I walked out. It scared me, yet it made me feel good at the same time. I really just loved everything about this. I love the creatures. I love the look. I love the writing. The score, I think, is incredible. So before I go crazy about how much I love this movie,
I feel the I'll let two people jump in who are already making faces.
Okay, so here's the thing. It's not an episode of Popcorn and Prosecco until the two of us are on the complete opposite end of the
spectrum.
Andy,
I want you to talk about this in a sec, but I want to lay this out here. So I hated this. I was trying to get on board with how slow it is and how kind of pensive it is, but, like, the soundtrack I thought was ludicrous and just, like, weirdly sentimental, and then, like, the alien design I thought was so hokey. I thought it looked like when you're a kid and you're like, my hand's a monster. Like, that's what it looked like to me, and I couldn't.
The design had a purpose, though.
Yes, I know, and I thought that was lame. I'm not going to get into what the final reveal, the finale of this movie, but the finale of this movie gives into two tropes that are, like, tropes that I fucking loathe. One is sentimental and one is sci-fi. And, I found this movie incredibly dull and infuriating, and I'm in the minority, and I know that, but, yeah, I liked his other movies. I liked Prisoners. I'm astonished that I found this so heavy-handed and pensive and sentimental.
Angie, help me.
I mean, it's a The problem with this movie is that it's really hard to talk about in specifics because there are, it's not necessarily the kind of movie that's like plot twist, plot twist, plot twist, but you, it's a movie where you're supposed to enjoy kind of watching it unfold as it goes. But I have talked to Christy about it, and like just based on knowing what her preferences are for certain plot elements in this, I was just kind of like, you know what, like she was just like, you know, I hate when they do this and I hate when they do this. And I was like, Christy, that is literally the entire movie. So like, given that those are two things that she can't stand, it doesn't surprise me that she doesn't like it. That said, I am on board with Perry. Like, I love this movie. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like Team my favorite of the year, but it's definitely up there. Like, I think that, so, you know, to like kind of go off on a little bit of a side topic, I feel like I've seen the trailers for this movie and it seems like they're selling it as like this like big intense sci-fi thriller, but I think it's a lot more, it's much more like cerebral and emotional. I think the comparisons that people have made a lot are to like Contact and Interstellar,
which notably are two movies, you know,
it's
I
not
don't
just
like
those movies, but it's kind of right, but it's kind of going for that kind of vibe where it's trying to hit you, like it's where it wants to be slow and it wants to make you think and it wants to make you feel. And you know, while I was watching it, like at first I was just kind of like, okay, I'm going along with this, like I want to see how it unfolds. But like at the end, like as you kind of like realize everything that's going on, it really just hit me. Like I walked out of it just being like feeling like I had this emotional gut punch in a really good way. I think that Amy Adams in this is excellent. And I also really, yes. But I also really just like the way that, so it's a movie, you know, as you said in the IMDb synopsis, it's a movie about, like, communication. It's a movie about linguistics. It's a movie where aliens invade, and it's not just about, like, yes, let's go to war and, like, fucking kick some alien ass. And I love that about it, because it just felt so, you know, like, not that, like, aliens coming in are necessarily realistic, but it did feel like it really kind of took the time to think about how humanity would want to react to this, how they would be tempted to react to this, and how they would actually react to this.
And it does a great job of feeling really intimate. It's definitely Amy Adams' story with Jeremy Renner's character, and it's very much about the two of them, for the most part, in a very confined space, yet it still represents what the grander worldview would be of this situation. And it reflects, you know, how everybody would react. And it reflects what the grand scale repercussions of what their decisions are. I just think it's so beautifully done. It seems to me like it's something that shouldn't work as well as it does. But it's also hard to articulate how I feel about it, because like you said, Angie, in the end, it feels like a very emotional punch to the gut, but at the same time, it's very hopeful, too.
Yeah, but like even aside from kind of the big reveals that come toward the end of the movie, I also just like, if this had just been a movie about Amy Adams trying to talk to aliens for 2 hours and that was like the entire plot, like I would have been on board with that. Like it was just so interesting to me to see kind of like, I don't know how often we really see a movie that's about language, about linguistics, about the way that our language shapes the way that we think and the way we perceive the world. It's something that I've heard people talk about. It's just not something I have seen a lot of movies about. So that was another thing that I really liked about it. Like, you know, the idea of like aliens coming down to Earth, people try to talk to them. That's not wildly original, but kind of the way that it was executed did feel like a breath of fresh air to me. And it's also just like, I mean, it looks gorgeous. It's got really great performances. I know, Christy, you didn't like the score, but I thought it worked really well. And the other thing is, like, while I was watching it, like, the sound design in this movie is really good, and it really just puts you in the space with the characters. Like, for example, there's a scene where Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner are, like, in their little, like, space suits or whatever, going up to talk to aliens, and the sound design kind of just, like, you feel like you're trapped in there in those suits with them, where it's, like, really confining. You can kind of, like, almost feel the humidity of, like, being in this, like, plastic suit and just, like, you know, the way your breath circulates in there. Like, I thought, like, you know, when I was watching it didn't feel like I was just, when I was watching moments like that, it didn't feel like I was just watching a movie, watching something happen to someone else. It felt like I was there with them. It felt like I was experiencing it with them. So, I mean, yeah, that's not too spoilery, but that's another reason I really just thought this movie was incredible.
I think it's well made, and I respect what it's attempting to do. And like I said, it's really that I was interested in the mystery it sets up of 12 spaceships hover over Earth, and what do they want from us, and what's going on, and how do we communicate with them, and how language shapes not just how we talk to each other but our perceptions of the world. I thought that was all really interesting, especially as a writer. That was all very fascinating to me. It's just that as they peel away the layers and start to solve the mystery, I became increasingly aware that I was going to hate the result, And yeah, I do. I just, I guys, won't say why because I don't want to give spoilers away. But like, all right. Like comparing it to Interstellar and comparing it to Contact. Contact, I've never been able to sit through. I've tried watching it at home a couple of times, and I was just like, oh, whatever. And I tune out.
I love Contact.
And Interstellar, I just, ugh, the ponderous nonsense. Like, I like sci-fi. I like some sci-fi drama. I thought Gravity was great. But, like, I just could not get into this.
It sounds like we need to get into spoilers in order to kind of further the conversation. I guess no non-spoiler thoughts for anyone who's going to tune out at this point, though. Clearly, I highly recommend the movie. Angie, I think you're with me on that.
Yep.
I would say that if you're looking at this as if it's like a thriller or an alien invasion movie, you're going to be disappointed. That's not what this is.
I think we can all agree on that. I don't think the way they're marketing this is doing any favors. Like, I think it's, I'm almost worried it's going to be like a Crimson Peak bait and switch where, like, you know, it was advertising one movie.
Right. Or like, I would say even more so like Drive, one of where them. Drive was marketed like it's like a Fast and the Furious movie, and that's totally not what it is. This is a much more art house film than the marketing is suggesting.
Not to get into a debate about this in particular, but I would strongly disagree with that. I think there are people, yes, that may be disappointed when they don't get explosions and aerial battles and stuff like that. But I also think there's going to be a lot of people who are pleasantly surprised by getting such a different alien invasion movie.
I mean, it's not that I don't think people will like it, but I do kind of, you know, part of the purpose of marketing is to tell people, like, is this a movie you should watch? Like, you know, here's why you should watch this movie. And, like, I love this movie, as I've said, but I don't necessarily think it's doing the best job of reaching out to the kind of people that would watch it. I'm not saying that there won't be people who will come in expecting one thing and walk away pleasantly surprised, but I am worried that it's going to be like Crimson Peak, where it's, like, drawing one kind of pool of people and when it actually should be aiming another pool. That's all.
Right.
But so, I think overall, I mean, it's pretty clear. Christy is a thumbs down, and me and Perry are both. Hell yeah.
And now it is that time. Spoiler alert for Arrival. If you do not want to hear spoilers for this movie, you should tune out now. So, I loved what the reveal was. I loved the idea that these alien creatures operate in a way that kind of does not match. You know, it kind of goes back to what I said before, how I operate based on logic and having a set thing of rules to follow, whereas they're that continuous loop, and it's just a completely different thought process. And I appreciated the fact that when she kind of literally dove into their world and got all that information, it changed everything. And I love the idea of her going forward, knowing where her life is heading and needing to make those decisions for herself. It was kind of just this, it's this way that's very hard to explain and describe, but it was something that I enjoyed the thought of knowing what lies ahead for her to a degree, but still not quite being able to wrap my mind around what she just experienced and how that changes her life moving forward.
I mean, to me, like, that was really emotional because, you know, so actually, maybe it's better if Christy talks about what she hates.
My problem, since we're in spoiler, my problem with Arrival is that the big reveal is that they are time travelers, and for her to fix this thing that will prevent basically an intergalactic war, she has to
time travel,
hang on.
Though.
It is fucking time travel. She has to communicate.
It's like Slaughterhouse
Five. It's the idea that she can see all of time at the same time. It's effectively time travel, and it's that time travel trope where you have to go back in time and know a thing in advance so that you can fix the thing, so the thing later can happen. That shit drives me crazy. And why it bothers me so much here, because like I watch a lot of Doctor Who, and they do that stuff a lot, and it's cutesy and tongue in cheek and all that shit. It's a time travel trope that drives me crazy because on one logic hand, it's just infuriating. But on the other hand, when they do it in Doctor Who's a kid's show. It can get away with that shit because it's cheeky and adorable or all that nonsense. And, you know, they're like, L, and Z, and they cheat and whatever. But it's a cheat. And this is a movie that takes itself super, super, super seriously. And then its big reveal is like, oh, she has to know in the future that she's going to make this phone call and say this thing. And it just, it's so fucking precious. That drove me crazy.
Can you talk about the other thing that you hate?
Which one?
I know that they're the kid.
Well, wait, I mean, briefly before we get there, then I'll give you a pass with calling it time travel, but this was probably one of the richest, most interesting and satisfying versions of time travel I've ever experienced, where I felt like I was discovering this with her while her still being a step ahead at the same time. I totally bought what they tried to do, which, given what happens to her, is an incredible achievement to me.
I mean, I agree with Perry because it's not like Amy Adams necessarily goes into this like knowing, you know, it's not like she goes into this. You're kind of following her along as she starts to see time in a different way. It's not time travel in the sense of like they get in a DeLorean and they hop back in time. It's just that like in Slaughterhouse 5, she can now, spoilers right. for Slaughterhouse 5, sorry.
Yeah, spoilers for Slaughterhouse 5.
Now she can see kind of everything that's going to happen. And it's not even something the aliens can really explain to her ahead of time because it's something that she kind of has to see and experience for herself. So to me, it did make sense. Christy, as I recall, one of the other tropes that you hate that this uses is a cape of cancer, which I know can be really sappy and manipulative, but to me, the reason that those things worked and the reason that it hit me so hard emotionally is that it's a movie about kind of like why we do things that we know are going to hurt. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, you're with her, like she kind of sees, like she knows a lot of pain is coming her way, but she knows that like to her, the joy is worth it. And, you know, obviously we're not all time travelers, I think. But like, you still like kind of
2 minutes into the movie and they introduce kid with cancer. It's just, it's so easy. It's just,
what are you saying? That you can't make a good movie with a kid with cancer?
I'm saying that it's
always
cheap.
It's also
I'm
so well
that it's
justified
cheap. Let me finish
in the
this.
End.
I'm saying that it's cheap to 2 minutes into a movie do the whole kill the cat moment where you're supposed to bond with the character because she lost a kid from cancer. There are very good movies that are about kids with like a couple of people dealing with kids with cancer. Like one of my favorite movies from a couple of years ago, that Norwegian one that I can't think of the name right now. Fuck, it was about two like rockabilly performers. That's beautiful, and that's about that. But that's something that's slowly revealed as you get to know the characters. It's not something they sucker punch you with 4 minutes in and then like it looms over the rest of the movie where the rest of the movie she keeps talking to this kid who has cancer. And it just I just think it's really like exploitative isn't the right word, but sensationalistic. And it bugs me because I feel like then it's cruising on an emotion it didn't earn. It just shoved down your throat in the first scene.
Oh, God. Oh, strong disagree with that. I think that was one of the best things they did with the whole kid with cancer storyline is that they did justify the use of it in the end, because that's part of the reason you can connect to this character who is dealing with this crazy thing that's almost like beyond what we can imagine right now. And just the idea of her accepting the fact that she only has so much time with this kid she's going to have. And she
I get why it's supposed to be emotional. I'm saying
she has the opportunity to veer away from it and she accepts it. Oh, I love that. That hit home for me so much.
First of all, I mean, yeah, it's manipulative. All
no,
movies
I get
that make
but
you
that's
feel
what
things
I'm saying.
Are manipulative.
Like, I feel
that's
like
what
the storytelling
they're doing,
is good. I feel like I've been moved with the story. I don't feel like I see the moves. And instead of just being like, this is really a story about you, cancer child. And like, just from like, literally, it's like 2 minutes in. It's just, it.
But like, I mean, if you find that to be a really just like hokey cheap trick, like, you know, I can't tell you, like, Chrissy, you're wrong to feel that. Like, fine. But, like,
I know. I was going to say, Perry's waiting for that.
I can only speak from my experience where I think that the movie does kind of, you know, like, yeah, okay, it starts out on a sad note because you know that there's going to be a kid who's sick. But, like, I do think that the movie really earns your interest in the character through, you know, Amy Adams' performance, through how well-written and how interesting of a character she is. I think that, you know, it does cast, like, kind of a gloomy spell over the whole thing. But, like, I think that structurally also it just works really well because then you kind of go in knowing what's ahead even if you don't quite know what it is. So, I mean, you know. Like, agree to disagree. Like, it worked for me. It clearly didn't work for you.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's the thing. I've been upfront about that. I've been upfront about the fact that there are tropes that drive me crazy. And I feel like when you introduce a kid with cancer to be like, oh, isn't that terrible? Like, yeah, it's fucking terrible, obviously. Like, but, you know, I need more than that.
I mean, I think we're going in circles, but I think at the end of the day, honestly, I know it's kind of a cop-out, but I don't know if there's that much that we can do besides... Yeah, like,
it works
yeah,
for you. It doesn't. I understand that. I'm saying that, like, that was a warn. That was a red flag for me. And then when they tied it off with the like the fucking she has to be in her own quantum leap, like I can't.
Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah. All right. There's that. Okay. So we're done. it's so hard not to want to like reviewed it. But I'm going to leave it at that. Agree to disagree. Me and Angie love this movie. Christy did not. It's all good. That's a wrap on episode 139 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You guys know what to do. Please go on over to iTunes where you can comment, rate, and subscribe, of course. We would love it if you would do that. Please like us on Facebook as well. We also have our Twitter account, Popcorn Prosecco. You can also find us on our website, popcornprosecco.com. And then all three of us are all over the interwebs. Christy, do you want to take it first?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Christy Puchko, KRISDYIPUCHKO. And I'm all over the interwebs. But you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN. And I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at PNemiroff. I write for Collider.com, and I'm on the Collider Videos YouTube channel. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
What happens now?
They arrive.